Let's pray. Lord, may you open your word to us now and open our hearts to you. May you be with us. May you touch us. May you fill us with your love, with your spirit, with your grace. Make us more like you, Lord, we pray. In your name, amen. I was going through some old pictures the other day of my daughters when they were young. And I came to the conclusion that my daughters were weird. Had to have been them, it couldn't have been me. And there were so many pictures that I looked at where they were constantly hanging upside down from my arms. And obviously that wasn't, you know, me, that was obviously them. Had nothing to do with me and everything to do with how weird they were. I think that taking kids and turning them upside down, I think it's a dad thing, isn't it? Isn't it just about every dad who takes their kids and turns them upside down? I mean, every dad I know of does that. Every dad turns their child upside down, I think. And there's our Heavenly Father who does this as well. He likes to take all kinds of things and turn them upside down. Consider some of the things that the Lord turns upside down. Those who exalt themselves, what does he do? They exalt themselves, he humbles them. And then the other side, those who are meek, he tips upside down and they are exalted. And then we are told that to live, we first must die. And that to find true freedom, we must first surrender. Everything's kind of upside down. He also tells us that when we lay down our life, that's when we find it. You see how he turns everything upside down? This morning, let's look at how he turned everything upside down, literally heaven and earth, when Jesus was born. It wasn't just that he turned a few things upside down. He turned all of heaven and earth totally upside down. This is what our text says. We're looking at the same one we looked at last week, Luke 2, 9-12. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So before we talk about how he's turned everything upside down, heaven and earth, let's remember again who the angels are. Just as we reflected on them last week, let's do the same thing again this week. And let's remind ourselves that angels can be terrifying. We love the stories of angels, and we always think of them as kind of, you know, nice and calm, but angels can be terrifying. In our text, when the angel appeared, the shepherds were filled with a great fear. They were petrified. They were petrified by the angel. This was a common reaction in the New Testament and in the Old. This was a common reaction when people saw an angel. They were terrified. We see this in a number of places in the New Testament. Here are just a few. When the angel came to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist in Luke 1:13, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because Zechariah was afraid. When the angel came to Mary in Luke 1:30, same thing. He said, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because Mary was afraid. And then after the resurrection, when the women came to the tomb in Matthew 28:5, and the angel appeared to them, he said to them, "Do not be afraid." Do you see the common theme? When the angels appeared, people were terrified. People were terrified. They have powers we don't have. They can do things we can't do. If you're walking out into the woods and you suddenly encounter a grizzly bear, what do you think? Oh, no. If we suddenly encountered an angel, a part of us would think the same thing. Oh, no. Oh, no. And for a number of reasons. One, anything unexpected tends to scare us a little bit. You hear a big pop at night. Immediately you're awake, right? And your nerves are on edge. What was that? And then second of all, the angels often came to execute God's wrath as often as to deliver a message of good news. And so if we were to encounter an angel, chances are we'd be terrified. Chances are we'd be terrified. And not only that, they're holy. When you shine a light on a messy room, you see the mess, right? Lights are off, it all looks good, right? Turn on the light, it's a mess. When we come into the presence of holiness, the light shines upon us, and then suddenly we're painfully aware of how much of a sinner we are, how dirty we are. So once again, when we encounter the angels, it can be terrifying. It can be very terrifying. Not only that, but they have abilities that you and I do not have. They are, at least presently, able to do all kinds of things that we cannot do. They can appear and disappear. They can do all kinds of things that we cannot do. And they often do things that are, again, things that give us pause. We mentioned last week in Isaiah 37:36 how one angel struck down 185,000 Assyrians as they besieged Jerusalem. One angel. 185,000 Assyrians. In just Revelation alone, when you look at some of the things that they do, in Revelation 7:2, they're allowed to harm the earth and the sea. In 8:7, they throw hail and fire down to the earth mixed with blood. In 14:15, they're given a sickle and they reap the earth. In 16, they're given bowls of judgment and they throw those bowls, cast the contents of those bowls down to the earth. And then 18:21, they're given a great millstone which the angel throws into the ocean and destroys the city of Babylon. They have powers we don't have. They have powers we don't have. And then as we mentioned last week, they're close to the Lord. They stand in his presence. Remember in Genesis 28:12, Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven. They have access to heaven. We don't. And then Gabriel himself said in Luke 1:19 that I stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm often right there next to the Lord. Like a secret servant agent who is always next to the president. Access to the very throne of God. And we noted again last week, Psalm 81, how God is enthroned upon the cherubim, the highest, one of the higher orders of the angels, and how the seraphim, according to Isaiah 6:1-3, apparently spend most of their time in worship of the Lord. And so there's this very intimate connection between God and the angels, very intimate. So what's the point in all this? We're the bottom of the food chain. It's God, then the angels, and then fallen man. Even the fallen angels are above us. Satan is called the prince of this earth, not you and me. So even the angels and the demons are higher on the food chain than you and I are. But that's the wonder of the Christmas story. As soon as Jesus was born, God turned things upside down. And so then, after Jesus was born, lived his life, died and rose again, after that, it's no longer God, the angels, fallen man. Now it's God, the redeemed, and then the angels. He has exalted you and I above the angels. Look at what Jesus is called in our text. Verse 11, he's called a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news that the angel announced to the shepherds. And of course, we know Jesus is our Savior. He saves us from sin and death and the power of Satan. And he is the Christ. The Christ means anointed. It's the Greek equivalent of the word Messiah. Both of them mean the anointed, the one who is anointed. And so he is the Christ. He's the Messiah, the one who will come and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, his Jewish kingdom in Jerusalem, and save the nation of Israel. But he's also the Lord, the hope of the nations, the one who will rule over the whole earth. And because he's fully man, he's fully God, but because he's fully man, the things that he did on earth, he did as a man and in our place representing us. So when he lived a perfect life, in one sense we lived a perfect life. When he died, in one sense we died. When he rose on high, in one sense we rose on high. And so we're told in Ephesians 1:21 that Jesus, after he rose again, he rose above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in the age, this age, but also in the age to come. He was exalted above every created being there is, all the angels. And he was exalted not only as God, because he was already above them as God, but he was also exalted as man. As man. And therefore we're told in Ephesians 2:1, the redeemed were raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. Because he was man, when he was raised up, we were raised up. Those of us who trust in Jesus. And that's why it says in Hebrews 2:7 that man was made a little while lower than the angels, but has now been crowned with glory and honor. When we were born, when man, before Christ was born especially, man was lower than the angels. We've been made a little while lower than the angels, but now we've been crowned with glory and honor. You and I have been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and we are exalted above all the angelic beings in the entire universe. Remember who the angels are, how terrifying they are, how capable they are, how close to God they are, and we're exalted above them. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you know the story of General Jonathan Wainwright. He was the general that took over the forces in the Philippines in World War II after Douglas MacArthur left. And he took over them in the early spring of 1942. At that time, the Japanese troops had all but conquered the American forces. And the American forces were in desperate situations, but they fought on as long as they could. And then in May, I think it was May of 1942, they finally surrendered. 70,000, I think, Americans surrendered. And then if you know your history, it was the Bataan Death March, and they were kept in prison camps for many of them for 3 years. General Wainwright was also kept in a prison camp, and even though he was a general, he was treated just like everyone else, meaning poorly. He was abused, malnourished, and so on and so forth. By the time the 3 years were over, he was a beaten man, like so many of the prisoners. And then, of course, as you know, the Americans did defeat the Japanese. The American Army sent a colonel to the camp, to General Wainwright, to tell him that the war is over. He is now in command of the camp. After he receives the message, he goes back to his quarters, his cell. Some of the guards begin to mistreat him like they always have. And he stopped them and says, "I am in command now. I give the orders." Why was he able to do so? Because he was strong, because he was brave, because he was anything? No, it was because of the authority that was invested in him as general of the United States Army, as general of the forces in the Philippines. He had the authority to give the orders that he gave. And those who were once captive were suddenly freed. And those who were the prisoners, the guards, suddenly became the prisoners. Things were turned upside down. You and I were exalted on high, and we have great authority here on earth. We have great authority, not because we're brilliant, not because we're holy, not because we're good, but because of what Christ has done. We have great authority, and we've been exalted above the angels and above the demons. And we can command in ways that might surprise even you and me. What was the last thing Jesus did before he ascended on heaven, up to heaven? He gave the Great Commission, right? And what did he say? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples, and so on and so forth. All authority, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he also said in Matthew 16:19 to Peter, he said, the keys of the kingdom of heaven have been given to the church. We have the keys. And then he went on to say, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's easy for us to be worn down by life. We're often pressured. Sometimes we're under satanic attack. It's easy for us sometimes to start thinking that we're victims. We're not. We can tell Satan to take a hike. Get thee behind me, Satan. We can renounce him in Jesus' name. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ, and he has given much of that authority to you and me. The keys to the kingdom. And whatever we bind is bound, and whatever we loose is loosened. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so we have been lifted up above the angels who have been lowered down in status. We've been exalted above them all. And so once again, now how is it? It's God, the redeemed, and then the angels. Amazing. It's simply amazing. Now, I don't know about you, but yeah, it was me. I took my kids. I was the one who turned them upside down. I don't think my kids ever came to me once and said, Dad, pick me up and turn me upside down. Maybe they did. I don't think so. But they'd be minding their own business, and, you know, what do we dads do? Sometimes they weren't minding their own business. But they'd be minding their own business and flip them over. It's fun. And like I said, they enjoyed it too. Fallen man didn't ask God to flip things over. And imagine the nerve of him had he asked God to flip things over. Fallen man going to God and saying, exalt us to the right hand of the Father. Places above all the angels in heaven. What kind of nerve would that be? What kind of presumption would that be? But God took it upon himself, grabbed his children, so to speak, and flipped us upside down, took the redeemed and placed them above the angels. I don't know about you, but when God turns things upside down, I rather enjoy it. It's pretty cool. Lord, you are so good to your children. So good. We do not deserve to be exalted like you have exalted us. The angels who have not sinned, who have not fallen, they have been faithful to you for years and years and years. We have sinned. We are fallen. We are rebels. And yet you have placed us even above them. You have exalted us even above them. How amazing is that, Lord? And you have given us kingdom authority. We do have power over our old self. We do have power over the world, over the satanic forces. We're not victims. We're more than conquerors through you. Remind us, Lord. Remind us just how blessed we are and how high we have been exalted. I think when we go to heaven and we see how honored we are, I think it'll blow our minds. Blow our minds every once in a while now, Lord. Help us to reflect upon what you have done for us. And how we praise you, Lord. We can't say it enough. You are so good to us. In your name we pray. Amen.